certainly have enjoyed all the services today and, of course, throughout all this meeting, and thankful very much for the Spirit of the Lord and thankful for Him in the preaching service. Appreciate very much the words that Brother Charles has given us, very needful. And it's a privilege to be here. I appreciate Brother Zach and the ministry of this whole church and of your attempt to let your light shine before men, not that they may glorify you, but they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be the Lord's will, I'd like to speak from Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. As we think about coming in the new year, and I just verified this with Brother Zach, I thought I'd heard him say numerous times in the past that love is the greatest motivator. He verified that he does say that, and I tell you, that's a very true statement. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." No greater motivator could have ever been than for the Lord God of heaven to send His only begotten Son to die upon the cruel cross for our sins. But I tell you, love was not only the greatest motivator for God to send His Son, it's also the greatest motivator for us to serve God. I'm going to tell you, as we live this life, there's times when our love for the Lord is less than it should be. I'm sure we can think to times in our life where we remember that fire in our bones and the zeal in our hearts for the Lord. And there's times when that grows dim. There's times when we don't feel the love for the Lord like we should. I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about that. It talks about that in what we're about to read. And I want to look at a cure for a deficiency of love. Begins in verse 36 of Luke chapter 7 by saying, "And one of the Pharisees desired him," that is the Lord Jesus, "that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." And we see here a woman, the Bible tells us she's a sinner. Now, we know we're all sinners, but I tell you, I believe it's got special emphasis here that this woman was a very notorious sinner. I believe she was a woman that had lived a very immoral life. "Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at the feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." Now this woman here brings a very costly thing. She brings a very precious thing, an alabaster box of ointment. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a woman that's grieved. The Bible said she was weeping, that she was weeping so much she began to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, and y'all probably already seen, I can be an emotional person. But I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of tears for them to fall on the feet of the Lord Jesus and her to be able to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. I'm going to tell you, this was a woman that was broken with the sense of her own sin, with the sense of her own bankruptcy before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And she is weeping with a broken spirit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's one of the first things I believe that God does when He borns us again by His precious Holy Spirit, is to give us that deep, deep conviction of our own sinfulness before God. And this woman shows it in a very precious, precious way. "Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself." He didn't speak out loud. He didn't whisper it. He spake within himself. He thought this to himself, saying, "This man, the Lord Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Here this woman has come in a spirit of brokenness before the Lord, so grieved over a sense of her own sin that the tears are flowing like a fountain at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And this Pharisee, Simon, which had been the Lord Jesus into his house, speaks within himself. He thinks within himself. And he begins to judge the Lord Jesus and to judge this woman. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is at his feet, for she is a sinner. I'm going to tell you, Simon's got a problem, but I'm going to tell you he's got a problem that we've got. And that is, we have a very good ability in the flesh to see the sins in others when it's very difficult for us to see the sin in our own lives. It's very easy to see what others need to change in their lives, what sins they have, but it's difficult to see our own sins and our own depravity. This woman is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." I'm going to tell you, Simon reminds me a little bit of the Pharisee in Luke 18, where two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Bible says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "Father, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." The Bible says that the publican, not willing to even lift up his eyes, smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Bible says that he went to his house justified rather than the other. For he that exalteth himself will be abased, and he that humbleth himself will be exalted. I'm going to tell you, it's very important for us to have a significance and an understanding of our own sin. There's a young man that talked to me a few years ago. He'd been a friend of mine throughout childhood. He was working with a minister of another order and some of his sons, and he was telling me about what one of these boys had said, and he had told him, he said, "You know, I've almost gotten to the place in my life where I hardly ever sin." And I told my friend, I said, "You better watch out for that guy, because every place in the Word of God where I see where people were close to the Lord, they didn't thumb their lapels and say, 'Look how good I am.' But they saw a deep significance and a good picture of their own sin." I'm reminded of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw that glorious picture of the Lord. It said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train," that is the train of his robe, "filled the temple." What did Isaiah do? Did he thumb his lapels and say, "Look what God has shown me that others haven't seen"? No, he said, "God, be merciful." He said, "Well, I better go look at it, because now I've lost my quote." Has that ever happened to you, brothers? He said, "Woe is me, thank you, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." I tell you, he looked at himself first. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And it wasn't until he looked at his own sinfulness in the black backdrop of a holy and righteous God that he then turned and said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I'm going to tell you, if we think we're looking at the King and we don't have a deep conviction of our own sin, I don't think we're looking at the King. Because when we look at the King, we see our own sinfulness and we realize all of our own shortcomings and failures before the Lord. Lord Jesus turns to Simon and says, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he says, "Master, say on." He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Now, here we got a creditor with two debtors, and the two debtors are different in a way, and they're the same in a way. The creditors owe different amounts, but neither one of them ain't got nothing to pay. Neither one of them has anything to pay. And I'm going to tell you before the Lord, no matter how great sinners we are, no matter how some have committed more notorious sins than others, we're all alike in that we hadn't got anything to pay. We're bankrupt before the Lord. We have nothing to lay at His feet. We fall totally upon the grace of God. Had nothing to pay. One owed 500 pence, the other owed 50. Lord Jesus said, "He forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love Him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said, "Thou hast rightly judged." You said it right, Simon. You got that right. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" Not her sinfulness, Simon, but do you see her service? Do you see what she did at my feet? "Seest thou this woman?" Not her sin, Simon, but do you see the love that she bestowed upon me? "See this woman. I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." The Lord Jesus starts looking at the service of this woman. This woman went above and beyond the normal hospitality of the day in every way. And I'm going to tell you, Simon did less than the normal hospitality of the day in every way. He had a great teacher in his home. He had the Son of God in his home, and he didn't fulfill the normal hospitality that should have been given to this honored guest. And as Simon has shifted the focus to the woman and saying, "For she is a sinner," the Lord Jesus shifts it back on him and say, "Look at her love instead of her sin, Simon, and look at what you failed to do in your service." He put it back on him. And I tell you, we as the people of God, we need to be that. We need the Lord to convict our hearts of sin. Because I'm going to tell you, we can be so fleshly at times, we'll be sinning and not know it. We need to ask the Lord to shine the light of His Word in our hearts so that we might see those cobwebs of sin in the corners. You know, you can go into a house, and as long as it's dark, it can look pretty clean. And I tell you, I get scared when I go into these restaurants and there's no lights on. Because I'm wondering, what's in the corners? You know, I'm in law enforcement, and I want to be able to see. But I go into these restaurants, and there's no lights on. Very dim light. I'm going to tell you, there can be all kind of things in those corners. The Bible tells us that Thy Word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to tell you, as we read the Word of God more, we'll have more responsibility as we see the sin in our lives and we need to correct it. And God holds us accountable for that. God shines the light back upon the life of Simon. And He said, "You didn't even fulfill the normal hospitality of the day. But look, at the love this woman showed. Then he said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Now I want to ask you a question. Who out of all the elect family of God has been forgiven little? I say nobody. I say nobody in the elect family of God has been forgiven little. You remember the example I used a day or two ago when I was talking about if Brother Zach would ask you to come up in front of the church and confess every single sin you've ever committed, every evil thought you've ever thought, every evil thing you've ever said, every evil thing you've ever looked at, and the shame that was associated with it? Could anybody ever say, "I've been forgiven little"? But I'm going to tell you, there's times when we start looking around at the people around us, and we start seeing the notorious sinners of our day doing things perhaps we don't do. And I tell you, it's easy to get like Simon and start thumbing lapels. And yes, after we were born again, we had that deep conviction of our own sin. But I tell you, there's times where that begins to fade away. And we begin to look around and say, "Lord, I'm living a pretty good life. Lord, look at all these other people, all the things they're doing, and look at what I'm doing." And I tell you, it's easy to lose that sense of deep conviction for our own sin. I'm going to tell you, I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and we covered many of the things he suffered, being whipped numerous times with 40 stripes, save one, being beaten with rods, being shipwrecked, being left for dead. And I think in my mind, how in the world did the Apostle Paul suffer all that he suffered and never quit? I'm going to tell you, it's because he loved much. Why did he love much? I believe it's because he never lost that deep conviction of his own sin. You remember what he told the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15? He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief." He didn't say that, did he? The Apostle Paul writes this when he had been a great preacher of the true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where he had undergone many sufferings in the name of the Lord. But he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Apostle Paul never lost that deep, deep conviction of his own sin. And because of that, he loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, none of us have been forgiven little, but there's sometimes we're deceived in our minds where we begin to think we've been forgiven little. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, when that happens, our love for the Lord dims greatly. One of the importances, there's many importance to preaching total depravity, but one of the wonderful important things about teaching that is so people won't forget what they were. I'm going to tell you, we're conceived into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And I'm going to tell you, we need to preach on the total depravity of man. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when we preach on that, you begin to look, and people, especially those that are not familiar with the doctrines, may look and say, "Well, that's kind of depressing. Man is totally depraved." And I start thinking back, when you look at those magazines and you see all these people that's done those weight loss programs, and you got the pictures before and you got the picture of after. Now, I'm going to tell you, you won't really appreciate that after picture if you hadn't seen the before picture. And I'm going to tell you, we won't appreciate all the Lord's done for us as much if we don't forget, if we need to remember that picture of our being totally depraved in the eyes of God. I'm going to tell you, we won't appreciate enough that picture of us at the end of time being made just like unto our Lord
and our Savior, Jesus Christ, if we hadn't looked back at the picture of us as totally depraved. Apostle Paul never lost a deep conviction of his own sin. And he loved much. Here's this woman. She's got a deep conviction of her own sin, so much that the tears flow as a fountain on the feet of the Lord Jesus. And it shows in her service unto the Lord. She loved much. What about us? Have we gotten to that place where our love for the Lord has seemed to at times grow dim, where it doesn't seem we're as zealous as we used to be, where our service to the Lord is as good as it used to be? Maybe. Just maybe. It's because we've forgotten what great sinners we are. We fail the Lord in so many ways. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, or to whom somebody think they've been forgiven little, the same loveth little. I'm going to tell you, there'll be nothing in our life that will motivate us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ from now until either the Lord Jesus comes back or till we pass away from this life and go to the arms of the Lord as love for Him. And I'm going to tell you, to keep that love flowing, we don't ever need to forget what sinners we are. Because to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. But to whom sees themselves as being forgiven a multitude, the same's going to love a lot. I trust that as we love the Lord, and He's worthy of our service to Him. Romans 12 says, we're to present, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know when the Lord was given instructions about how they were to sacrifice that Passover lamb? The Lord was very particular that that Passover lamb was to be sacrificed whole. You weren't to take anything out of it. You weren't to cut the legs off. You weren't to take the pertinence or the guts out of it. It was to be sacrificed whole. When the Lord tells us through the pen of the Apostle Paul that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, that means all of us. It doesn't mean just on Sundays. It doesn't mean just part of our life. It means all of our money, all of our time, all of our effort, all of our love, all of our focus is to be to glorify our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not going above and beyond. That's doing what's reasonable. And what's the biggest stumbling block to that? Be ye not conformed to this world. If you're conformed to the world, you won't be a living sacrifice for the Lord. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been forgiven much. Much. And I tell you, we need to love much. And we need to serve the Lord all the days that we live. May God bless you, is my prayer.